The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Seven minutes past 12, fast am I. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining Man in Line today on Manx Radio. There were 76 new cases recorded of COVID-19 yesterday. We now have 470 active cases on the Isle of Man. Two people in Nobles, nobody in ICU. 308 people waiting for the result of a COVID test today. And 72 people, well, a minimum of 72 people booked in for a test today. From the vaccination dashboard, there have been 68,215 first doses administered, 64,768 second doses, 644 third doses, and 17,075 boosters, a grand total of 150,702 vaccinations having taken place on the Isle of Man. And the Department of Health and Social Care is currently holding 10,711 shots of vaccine in stock. Bearing in mind what we were talking about yesterday and talking about people not showing up for boosters and why, particularly why. A note in from Pat who just said that he had a man on yesterday saying he had awful joint pain after he had his booster jab. Same happened to me after my first the following morning. I got it in hands and feet. I thought it would go away. It got worse by the sixth week. I couldn't even lift a kettle. I was in so much pain. Had some steroid injections as I could hardly move. Gradually got me back to normal. But the very next morning after my jab, it started. And since then, I've heard of a few people. What they're saying is, obviously, it depends on individual immune systems, what the responses are to that. But I just thought we should mention that as well. And a note in from Terry, who just said, look, when you get Laurie Hooper in our Man in Line, why no booster jabs don't show up on the patient access under immunizations? Terry, I'll file that question away and put it to Laurie Hooper. He's on next Wednesday. As a message in, just regarding, you heard the story in the news about what's happening in front of the Sefton. The DOI, said John, don't know how much the work in front of the Sefton cost. Then say that the Sefton paid a contribution towards the cost, but not all of them. Well, how do they know that if they don't know the overall cost? Surely bill the Sefton with the cost of the materials and the man-hours it took to do the job. Why should it appear to the general public that one company gets preferential treatment? That message in. So there we are. And G just said also, why were the DOI able to spend unknown amounts of public money to do up the front of a private hotel while other prom businesses have almost collapsed due to the prom works? No breakdown of costs for separate work, so I presume no payments were made by DOI until the completion of the contract work. That's that story that's bubbling around regarding the works that were done in front of the Sefton Hotel. A quick word, I just want to, I'll pass this on to you. It's regarding a guy called Christopher Tabern, T-A-B-E-R-N. Merseyside police are looking for Christopher Tabern. He does have links to the Isle of Man. He's wanted on recall to prison. He's a 25-year-old, breached his licence conditions following release after serving a sentence in the UK for drugs offences. 6 foot tall, slim build, brown hair, green eyes, and he does have links to the Isle of Man. If you see or know of Christopher Tabern, you're asked to call the police on 631212. Call the police force, the Isle of Man Constabulary. Tourism businesses on the Isle of Man are calling for clarity from government post-pandemic to inspire confidence from visitors. TT 2022 set to go ahead, although there's been criticism that the government's messaging around the event hasn't been clear enough. The communication, should we say. But what about the future of the wider year-round tourism industry on the Isle of Man? The director of Isle of Man Escapes is Sally Helwich and John Keggan, a director at Ireland Escapes, with some views.
I think we just need to analyse really whether are we still protecting the island from COVID coming in from the United Kingdom, or as we've got COVID within the community on the island, do we now just open up our border to travel from the UK? Bearing in mind the UK has also got restrictions, or it's got at least passenger locator forms for people travelling in from the rest of the world. Do we use that as our protection for the rest of the world and have a free travel between the United Kingdom for everyone? I think that's kind of the debate that needs to happen now, really.
People have travelled this year knowing that there are restrictions in place. The confidence that we've been able to give them is that should we have to go back into lockdown, you know, your holidays are safe, your bookings are safe, so you can get a refund, you can take a credit on to next year. And for the time being, that's the message that will continue into 2022.
Sally and John, Sally from Isle of Man Events, John Keggan from Ireland Escapes. And if you're involved in hospitality, tourism business on the Isle of Man, I just wonder when it comes to the end of 2021, how you're feeling, you know, in your gut about 2022. Do you have that feeling of optimism? If you think about it first thing in the morning, do you think optimistic thoughts, or do you have a sort of gnawing lump of ice cold stone in the bottom of your stomach and think, oh crikey, what's going to happen? Jed Power is a private tour operator. Jed thinks the government should think bigger and think better. Bigger and better to diversify provision and also to help boost the Manx economy. Jed, of course, is a boss of a company that does golf tours.
We've got a lack of good hotel stock and accommodation, and I think a lack of general entertainment for the visitor. You know, you look in downtown Douglas, we need bars, we need restaurants, we need places that are together in an entertainment zone. And if the government works on that, it won't just complement the visitor economy, it'll complement our local economy, it'll complement the needs of our young people and families, and it'll keep people on the island, because you know we're suffering from, you know, a problem with young people going further afield because there's a lack of things to do and excitement. When you come to, say, somewhere like the Laxey Wheel, and it isn't work, and there's still a charge, or you're trying to find a place to eat on a Sunday evening, and everywhere is shut, this isn't good enough. You know, we need to think bigger, think better. The likes of some of our attractions around the island, you know, we like the museum, we like the House of Mananan, the castles, but it only meets the needs of a certain group. We haven't even got a wet weather option, have we? What have we got to do to stimulate things downtown? Have we got to provide incentives to employ people, a reduction in rates, make planning? Can we look at these empty shops in Strand Street and can we turn them into bars and restaurants very quickly? What about the hotel issue? You know, really, we've only got a couple of hotels that perhaps you or I would feel happy about staying in. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? We've got to modernise. And I think the people who make the decisions have maybe got to look inwardly and say to themselves, well, if I was here on holiday, what would I want to do?
How do you feel about that, Jed Power's view that the politicians need to look inside themselves? So what's your thought on this? Do you think we need, I mean, Jed used the word excitement. Is there genuine excitement? Everybody talks about the good old days. Everybody talks about 40-odd years ago, more, so to say, prior to 1984, when there was an awful lot to do. Certainly in the 13-week season, there was a lot to do. But, of course, that infrastructure spilled to year-round. There was always something going on. There was always something that would that people on the Isle of Man could actually do. So where's the impetus going to come from? Is it going to come from government, private enterprise, or a meeting of the two? Nigel's with us. Good afternoon, Nigel. Here's a man who knows of what he speaks.
Hi, good afternoon to you. It's Nigel from, obviously, Albany House and Albany Tours. And I'm listening to the comments that have been brought up over the last couple of days about tourism. The pandemic, 18 months ago, this goes back a lot further. I've been on the island just over 30 years. Started the Ramsey Beach, Grand Island. People know my background. The deterioration on tourism over the last 20 years has increased dramatically. I've got a tour bus. unfortunately, obviously, we don't have cruise ship passengers at the moment. But when you take these people out to visit this beautiful island, as we all call it, and it is, you go to the Grove. Not only is the cafeteria not open now, but it all needs a paint. Restaurant's closed. You go down to Niarbal. It needs work down there. Craigneish. I used to really, and I ran all the heritage sites. I lived in Craigneish when we opened the Sound. Beautiful. You take people on holiday now, and if it's okay, it might be raining or it might be windy, and it's 10 to 5 and nobody's down there. They're locked up, but it should be 5 o'clock. You go to other sites on the Isle of Man, and over the last 20 years, and we hear from the minister, right the way down through enterprise, recently, how important the island is, and this new government of how we're going to look after the island and bring it up. They all need to rethink about exactly what we've got. We want to bring these tourist people in here, but let's look at the sites that we have to offer, and let's get some work done, and let's get some money spent on tourism, so when people do come and visit the Isle of Man, they've got something beautiful to look at. Because I've noticed it, big style. We've been running at Albany House for 15 years, and our repeat business has been 15 years because we maintain it, we have a standard, and that's what we do. And that's what the Tourism Department should be doing.
Nigel, just go back to the cruise tours. When you had people on the cruise tours and you got to a place that should have been open, as you say, at 20 to 5 or 4:30, and it was closed, what did you say to the people?
Well, being in hospitality, you're a bit like being on stage. You're an entertainer, so you have to cover that up and basically put your own impotence on it and say, well, our reason being is because possibly, the weather's not very good. But you then put your own emphasis on there, because now I'm representing the tourist board and the people that should be on that site and should be open, and that shouldn't be down for me to do that. But because that's my background, we can do that. But that's not what it's about. It's about making sure that people that run these departments should be out in the field regularly and walking around and standing back and looking at a premises or looking at a site thinking, if I came here on holiday, would I actually enjoy what I'm seeing? And unfortunately, it's deteriorating. And we have hospitality every year in the Villa Marina. We all get invited. And you'll have Angela Byrne on stage. And you'll have all the other people there as well, saying we're all there to help you and to bring the island to life. And look at it. We're having this conversation now. If things were right, we wouldn't be asking these questions like I'm saying now.
Now, bear in mind, we could be open for significant business in the springtime of next year. God willing that all happens. I mean, is the island spick and span for that to actually happen?
No, not really. You look at the pavements. I drive the Connect Village buses up the north of the island, and it's a disgrace. The DO, it's not just one department. It's government needs to stand, and people in these departments need to go out in the field, like I do, like we do at home. We stand back and look at our premises and say that needs doing, because we need to maintain it. People are being paid to maintain this island and to look after the tourist board, and unfortunately that's not happening.
Are you optimistic about next year, Nigel?
One thing that I'm sitting on the fence about is obviously they're not prepared to mentioning it about 2022 TT. We're fully booked, and we're fully booked the year after, because people come back and we've either moved the deposits on and we're looking forward to seeing them all again. But please, let's get these roads done. We've got two big questions. One is that road going to be worthy for a racetrack? That's got to be inspected. And secondly, we've got to have over 600 marshals. And don't leave it till trade alert, let's do it tomorrow. We need to be acting on this, because I've got a sneaky suspicion that it's going to get into January and February and we're still not going to have the answers of whether we're ready to go, because the work might not be done. And there's a lot of work to be done out there.
Okay, thanks for calling.
I hope so.
All right, I appreciate your call.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Thanks, Nigel. David joins us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just to support Nigel 100%, and I'm not in the industry, but I'm a chairman of a pensioners club that has its own little minibus that runs around all year round, and we have the same problems. The place is not getting looked after. It's not always the DOI. But if I could say to you, I wish one of our politicians question for next week, even if it's an emergency question, don't mind that, to the chief minister, just to say the simple words, do you support the TT for next year? And that's all we want. We want that amber light to go to green so the rest of us can plan around what's going to happen in 2022. And if I could quickly just jump to the Sefton issue, that's ridiculous, that. That's slapping us in the face as taxpayers and people that live here, that you can't tell us what they paid. You must have billed the Seftons. So what's the secret of saying it was £5,000, £10,000 or whatever? And we're still waiting. And hopefully, because we nailed David Ashford when he was here, he promised us to let us know on the variations to contract for the promenade. That'll tell you. That'll give us the green light to examine all sorts of things without making too much money. And the other appalling thing from the DOI too is they've taken the link off now from Facebook regarding the lift, when they said they can't get the parts until the 2nd of December. Don't they know there's a post office that does 24-hour delivery and it belongs to us?
And that's, bearing in mind, tonight is the night that Douglas lights are switched on. It's the first late night shopping. It's Thursday night. And, well, you'll have thighs like tugboats going up and down those stairs.
I've done it. I did it when we had my jab the other day there, and that was fine. But the problem is I did see people who were older than me struggling up and down the stairs, and then just a slap on that site, they say, well, we've got the other lift going on the other side by further over to Chester Street. Have you seen how far you've got to walk if you're on a frame or in a wheelchair?
Or you're carrying shopping bags.
Well, yeah, that's it. We want to encourage these things. I don't know. It must be simple every year that when you come into the winter period, we should be doing this, that and the other. When we come into January, we're expecting maybe snow, rain, flooding and stuff like that. When you come into March, we're looking for the paths to be cut back, April time. We should be looking for the TT. And we need that. Chief Minister, if you're listening, or your colleagues are there and the council ministers, you need to make a statement on behalf of the population of the Isle of Man to say the TT is going to happen. And if you have to say to people that's coming from Europe, you don't get into the Isle of Man unless you've had two jabs.
Okay. All right, Dave. Appreciate that.
Bye.
It's 25 past 12. Here's Howard now. Good afternoon, Howard.
Don't sound so despondent, Andy. Sorry. No, I agree with Nigel when he first came on. And, strangely enough, I agree with David. There used to be a tourist industry here. And, of course, people went off to sunny climates. And, like lots of other places, there's a huge loss of tourism. But the Isle of Man government, as it was then, decided they're going to move into money and banking and various other aspects, gaming, gambling. So they're not interested. And the people that are in the civil service, the government, they just don't, they don't look around them. The classic example is the airport. It's a disgrace. It's like coming into a slum. And when you come off the steam packet down there of an evening or whatever it is, what do you come on to for 2 years? You've been walking on a building site. So there's nobody made any progress, and there's nobody seems to want to, because the people who are in power in this, it used to be a tourist board, but I think they got some sort of fancy name for themselves now, they'll either not come out of that office, or when they do, they just go straight home, and they're not interested in tourism. It's a career. And it just leads another day towards their pension. And I'm sorry, but that's about the way it is. they are not interested in the tourism on the Isle of Man.
Well, they'll maintain, Howard, they'll maintain that they are interested and that they're doing their best. So how do we square that circle? How do we judge what the progress and the standard is?
If they were a private industry, they would have been fired long ago because the industry was on its knees and they did nothing to resurrect it. And they still are doing nothing. You look, there's a classic example now, took the scoreboards down. Even during the winter, as bad as they were, people used to stand there and take photographs. What have they got now? Concrete blocks. Laxey Wheel doesn't work. Government. The various other aspects, the steam railway, they've done a lot on that, but then they bought all these buses and they put Tours Isle of Man virtually out of business. And they're trying to do the same with the taxi trade. But the tourist industry, as it was good. They actually went across, advertised everything, done all the adverts. But nowadays, they just sit in that office and say, it's in the melting pot, we're going to do something. There's nothing gets done, and it's disgusting. As I say, you look around the island, and I've lived here all my life. I'm 78 now, and I've never seen it looking so drab. All they're interested in is putting houses up, build houses, attract more people permanently. They're not interested in the tourist trade anymore.
Okay, all right, Howard, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, Julian's on Man in Line now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I just wanted to talk about what was said yesterday about the slow take-up of the boosters, and also you've got a gentleman on before talking about the economy, and it's kind of like all tied in together.
Okay.
I think quite a few people that I've spoken to have had bad effects from these boosters, and some of them don't seem to go away either. And this is based on what you might call a vaccine that nobody had even heard about last year. If everybody's being honest about it, we're now kind of seeing now a shift with the definition of what fully vaccinated means. So it was sort of last year it was you need to get your shots and then we can have, you know, get out of this. And now we're talking about a booster. And now we're seeing Austria mandating vaccinations, not just to the care workers, but from February the 1st, they're talking about everybody. Now, tied to that, there is a chap, is a German guy, he's a doctor and a chief of epidemiology called Günther Kampf with a K, K-A-M-P-F. And he's just written a paper that's in the Lancet December issue. So if anybody can pick up a Lancet and have a look at it on the December issue. And that paper is called Stigmatization of the Unvaccinated is Unjustified. And he goes into detail as to how they're finding in Germany and in America, vaccinated have a relevant role to play in the spread of COVID. So it's, and of course, Boris Johnson has been saying it's not a perfect thing and people are transmitting. And also bear in mind now that the vaccinated, as in fully vaccinated, when they scan their QR codes, aren't being tested. So there isn't an immediate kind of way to determine where the spread's going. However, there does seem to be this move to point towards the unvaccinated. Now, Gibraltar today, with a population of about 33,000, which is what, just over a third of the island, 7,000 cases. But on top of that, we're not defining what a case is anymore in terms of the severity. Are we talking about people who are totally fine, feel totally perfect, and they've been counted and have to self-isolate based on a test which has questionable accuracy? Or are we talking about people that are seriously sick and having to stay at home, etc., or going into the hospital, etc.? So the definition of what fully vaccinated means has now changed based on forever. So the other side of this is the side effects of these vaccines, the yellow card system doesn't seem to be talked about anywhere in terms of the other side of whether to take the risk or not. It's just a case of we need to convince people. So is there any chance that there's going to be some transparency as to what's been going on in terms of people on the island that have had these bad effects and have reported them in because we never hear about it.
You think that we should know if there have been adverse effects and how many people it's affected?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's a bit like checking your tyres before you go out, or, you know, is it icy and how should I drive? You know, there's a risk assessment going on here. So, to, you know, this, especially with something that nobody'd even heard about last year. I mean, the idea of a new technology vaccine wasn't even talked about, you know, 18 months ago. And now everyone's pedal to the metal, it's going. However, you've got Gibraltar, 100% vaccination. The Spanish people that come over the border every day have to be vaccinated. In fact, they're even offering to vaccinate them. And they've got 7,000 cases in a population of around a third of the Isle of Man.
What's your view of the future then, Julian?
Well, I think we need to define what case means anymore. A case was always defined as somebody turning up at the GP or A&E feeling rough, whereas now a case is anybody basically that gets something up the nose or in the mouth and go, oh yeah, you're positive, you've got to stay home, and it's added to the list. So, you know, I mean, think currently at the moment, Isle of Man's got 470 active cases with two in the hospital, which is 0.4% of the cases. So it's sort of, you know, everybody's kind of wound up about this, but what is the case? I mean, you know, if you were to find out that there were 3,000 cases, but 2,750 of them felt perfectly fine, you might feel a bit less nervous than if all 3,000 of them were in, you know, feeling like hell and staying at home and et cetera, et cetera. The case definition isn't being properly told to people, so everyone's getting nervous.
Okay. Okay. All right. We appreciate that, Julian. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much.
All right, 27 minutes before one. Slovakia has been locked down as well today. All sorts of things happening across Europe. We are where we are at the moment. And there doesn't seem to be any likelihood of any statement from government on what the situation is. So steady as she goes seems to be what they say. Some notes in about somebody just said about the plan for the TT, wasn't it? The clear plan for the TT. It was Nigel saying that we've got to make sure the course is in tip-top condition for the races next year. So who better to straighten all this out? Clark of the course, Gary Thompson.
We've done a lot of work with the TT Marshals Association. We need in excess of 600 marshals to start any TT practice or TT race. We've got a full complement of race control staff. Obviously, that's very important to manage the TT course itself. But we've now started an extensive TT marshal training program, which we're conducting both on the Isle of Man and across in the UK. The attendance is at the course has been very good.
What are the sort of operations in place to make sure the circuit's in as good condition as possible?
Well, we have an excellent course inspection officer who's based on the island, Johnny Barton, existing TT competitor, years of experience as a TT competitor. He's the course inspection officer who does the He does a number of laps around the course throughout the week. He reports any concerns to myself, and then we feed them through the new safety management system that's now in place through Nigel Crennell, who works in the Isle of Man government. We all liaise with the Department of Infrastructure, and as you're probably aware, there's a lot of resurfacing gone on around the course already, and you know that will continue up to TT22 to make sure we've got the best course possible.
How much is left to do, and how are you going about making sure that it's done in time?
We have a programme of works which John Barton is in close contact with the DOI over, and there is a programme of works in place to make sure that work is done in time for TT22. But as I say, the response and the cooperation we have from the DOI has been outstanding, and you know we will have a good course in readiness for the next year's event.
That's the clerk of the course, Gary Thompson, talking about the TT course, the state it's going to be in, Johnny Barton, the course inspection officer, and what the DOI is up to as well. Just listening, note in this as a text to 302, just listening to Nigel about turning up with a minibus of tourists to a venue that closes at 5, at 10 to 5. Surely, he can't surely expect the venue to stay open because his timing isn't great. I wonder if you had a hospitality venue and somebody showed up with a minibus of tourists, maybe 10, 12 tourists, at 10 to 5 and you closed at 5, would you stay open? Would you stay open if somebody showed up 10 minutes before you closed and cater for those tourists? Also, what about that? That you need an understanding of global problems with the supply chain for spare parts. That this challenges the availability of spare parts, no matter how much we want them, says Paul. This is the problem with the lifts in Chester Street and the fact that the spare part's not going to be here till December the 2nd. But really, doesn't anybody keep spare parts or a stock of spare parts, particularly if you're looking after lifts? Wouldn't you have spare parts knocking around? Text 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com, call 66 13 68. Dave said, there isn't a tourist industry on the Isle of Man. Well, it depends what you call a tourist industry. Now, the tourist industry, the hospitality industry on the Isle of Man, and I'm going to put it in with agriculture because I think there's a link. Just stay with me for a moment. They don't make the Isle of Man economy, and they couldn't break the Isle of Man economy. But if we didn't have a hospitality industry, if we didn't have agriculture, the Isle of Man would be unrecognisable. I'll just tell you, the Cabinet Office brought out the Isle of Man National Income Report earlier on this week, and it shows that the GDP, gross domestic product, increased from $5.43 billion to $5.53 billion. Although, if you take inflation out of it, the actual rate of increase is about a tenth of a percent, but we're growing. However, the largest sector in the economy on the Isle of Man is insurance, 19.3% of the GDP. Next, e-gaming, 17.1%. Put them together, 36.4% of the Manx economy is insurance and e-gaming. So, agriculture and fishing, for that matter as well, and hospitality doesn't really challenge those statistics in terms of pure finance. If we look at pure from an accounting point of view, it doesn't challenge. However, if you didn't have a hospitality sector, if you didn't have agriculture and farmers and agriculture workers looking after the landscape, the place would be unrecognizable. So you need hospitality and you need agriculture and fishing. You need all these industries, which in terms of pure numbers, don't challenge things like insurance and finance and e-gaming. But without them, you couldn't run the place. What I'm saying is, if you lose hospitality venues, the place doesn't become worth living in.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists and we're here to help. Call 692-400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Here at Island Fuels, we pride ourselves on giving the best personal service when it comes to providing fuels and filling your domestic oil tank. With no minimum delivery amount, we'll fill your tank with just what you need. Island Fuels are super flexible. We'll always go the extra mile to get you fast if you run out or need an urgent delivery. You'll soon get to know your friendly, regular delivery driver from Island Fuels. So call us today on 247 645. Then, for plenty in the tank, I'll be seeing you.
Premium beers, wines and spirits for less this Christmas. Sainsbury's Taste the Difference always stands for exceptional quality and value. So celebrate extra savings right across the range. Regional brews, £3 for £5. Selected wines with a 25% discount. Champagne from £20. Excitingly flavoured gins and single malts. Raise a glass and taste the difference with Sainsbury's. Only at ShopRite and the WineRite neighbourhood food store. proudly locally owned.
Coming up, it's our final winning weekend of the year on Manx Radio, and this time we're teaming up with Walton's. On Friday morning, Mark will be live in store at the Isle of Man Business Park, giving away an HD smart television. And following on at the weekend, we're giving away £300 to spend at Walton's on a range of electrical goods. To win, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday morning at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Walton's here on The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thanks for dropping in. It's 19 minutes to one. A said, this is 557 texter, look Andy, we can't afford to repair the wheel. We don't clean the airport. We don't open and maintain heritage sites because we have to build railway bridges for cycles. I don't think it's the same budget, but we take the point as well. What people are forgetting about the lack of tourism on the island is all the hotels in Douglas Promenade had to upgrade their fire regulations in the hotels, which is quite correct. And to start off, the government were going to assist with the cost of the upgrades. That's when they saw what it would cost to help the hotels. They backed out and left the hotels to find the money themselves. Most of the remaining hotels standing now are flats or apartments. So there's a lack of places to for people to stay when tourists actually come. And also, by TT week, we'll have unvaxxed, single-vaxxed, double-vaxxed and booster people who might need a second booster in April. So we may as well just fully open up, as any travel rules are going to be too complicated to manage. Nobody has said, and I think this is, I've had several comments about this, is what's the government going to do? What is the advice they're going to give to the tourists for the TT who are coming from places like Germany or South Africa or New Zealand or Australia or America? What's the word? What have they actually said to those people? Good news from Loganair. Apparently, Loganair is collaborating with Channel Islands carriers, Blue Islands and Aurigny. Do you remember that Aurigny did some flights to Guernsey last year? Well, Loganair is collaborating with Aurigny and Blue Islands. The new partnership comes into effect next year. It will open up links between Guernsey, the north of England, Scotland and the Isle of Man through Manchester, Birmingham and Bristol airports. So that's going to be happening. Also, remember, it is voting day today in Ramsey. There's an election in Ramsey for the commissioners. So the polls are open till 8 o'clock with the election of three members to the Board of Commissioners. So if you're eligible to vote, so all I can say is make sure you get out and vote. Lots of comments coming in regarding tourism, and I wonder what your thoughts are regarding this and the fact that having stuff for tourists to come props it up for the rest of us. Jed Power said earlier on, Douglas isn't exciting. And if you're a nightclub person, remember, Douglas had 8 nightclubs at one time, and that's not that long ago. How many are there now? 2? Possibly 3 nightclubs? There were nightclubs that were open every day of the week at one time. Nightclubs may or may not be your thing, but lots of people who come to the Isle of Man want a bit of a night out. And suddenly finding that a door's locked and everywhere is dark and unwelcoming, well, what sort of message does that send out as well? Regarding TT 2022, says 927, the last few years, the TT promo for the following year comes out mid-November. It's the 25th of November. So, the man to talk to then and the man to hear from is Rob Callister, the Onchan MHK. Rob Callister is the political member with responsibility for motorsport on the Isle of Man. Rob Callister, listen to the words chosen, says there's nothing currently suggesting TT 2022 won't go ahead. Rob Callister urges Manx hotels and the hospitality trade to remain flexible for visitors should circumstances change?
We're planning for the 2022 event. So as far as I'm concerned, it's full steam ahead and the team have been working towards that. But the Isle of Man government needs to put out a clear message that the Isle of Man is open from a tourist point of view, not just from a TT point of view, that the Isle of Man is fully open and will be welcoming visitors, you know, early next year, because that's what the industry is expecting and that's what the industry is waiting for. You can get into the Isle of Man already if you're, you know, double vaccinated, and you can travel freely if you're a resident. But we just need any further restrictions or any restrictions that remain in place to be fully removed, hopefully ahead of the 2022 season. Hospitality is a key part of the TT experience. It's the same as the hotels. What we need to do is to work with people and make sure that we're flexible as we can as a jurisdiction. And when we're providing these bookings, that people can change if their circumstances change. And that's something I would actually urge all of our tourism, you know, hotels and accommodation providers is to provide that to their guests.
Rob Callister talking about hospitality, tourism, TT. You mentioned the gateways to the Isle of Man. I took my friend to the airport in July, cigarette ends all over the pavement outside the smoking shelter. The next day I took all the necessary items to clear the mess up, and I had to drive from Ramsey. Chris in the north, who cleaned up the airport himself. Have those tunnels been cleaned, by the way? Everybody seems to be asking, have those walkways, the transparent walkways, have they been cleaned? Are they okay? Lots of messages just saying, look, the flags, even the flags at the airport are tatty. Everything just looks tatty. If we get people coming in here, we're supposed to be cheering people up when they come here as well. And a note in from Keith, who just said, but you have to be well off to visit the Isle of Man. And now with the new ship and landing, you can guess, will prices go up before then? Also, we need a decent bus waiting room at the airport as well. Bus passengers are ignored at the airport. There is no waiting room there as well. Surely it's not beyond somebody's wit to think that up. The case definition has always been someone having a positive test, not someone turning up at a GP, says this correspondent on 225. We've never had a breakdown of people who were really sick and those with mild symptoms, says Sarah. Is that something you think we should have more transparency on, you know, how many people, without names or locations, but how many people are sick, or some people who just feel a bit iffy with it as well? Here's a note in that just says, we just have to crack on. This is Bill. He said, look, Andy, we've got to crack on. We definitely need TT or the hospitality industry will be finished. I disagree with some comments today, as we do have a beautiful island with countless attractions. Why would we do the prom if we're not wanting tourists? I went to Brighton recently. Actually, the Isle of Man looks pristine in comparison to Brighton. Regarding booster jabs names, I had the AstraZeneca. My booster was called Comir Nati. And the Pfizer-BioNTech that's the Pfizer-BioNTech one, says Chris. Oh, it's Chris up north as well. I was disgusted to find out that the barriers at the airport have been broken for some months, says Susan, and are permanently raised. The airport's losing tens of thousands of pounds because of this. These are the car park barriers. Who's responsible for this, and why can't it be repaired? The next thing is, will the airport be looking for subsidies because they can't be bothered to fix the car parking barriers? Well, everybody wants free parking at the airport, but we do get your point as well. Dave just said, look, it is expensive to come to the Isle of Man. So, I mean, does our offering have to be a lot better than it is if we're asking for a lot of money for people to come to the Isle of Man?
Andy Wint, the nation's station, makes radio.
Take a beautiful kitchen in a gorgeous fisherman's cottage, mix in yourself and some friends, add an award-winning chef, and you have the recipe for a truly unique experience. Join Chef Andrea at home in Port St. Mary for a creative cookery masterclass. From macarons to soufflés, gain inspiration, tips and new skills, and then enjoy the results. A choice of demonstrations for groups of 4 to 6, booking now. Search Angelica Bell, Isle of Man, online and Facebook.
Typhoon House, happily working to keep you working, whether from home or the office. We can keep your printer or copier fleet running in tip-top condition, whether there's a problem or simply making sure you don't run out of toner. Typhoon House also supply and install new devices, which are more efficient and cost-effective for you and your business. Call 661-331 or email typhoon@typhoonhouse.im. Typhoon House.
Hello?
If your hearing isn't as good as it used to be, contact Island Hearing. Run by a local family for 12 years, you'll find excellent treatment, help and advice at Island Hearing. Offering professional hearing tests, the latest hearing aids and competitive prices from our branches in Douglas, Ramsey and our main hearing clinic in Port Erin, where we also provide the most advanced wax removal treatment on the island. Call the Island Hearing team on 830 722. Island Hearing, we're listening.
Great Scott! If my calculations are correct, the countdown to Christmas is on! With so many great shows in 2022, a Villa Gaiety gift card is the perfect escape to the future! So this year, give someone the gift of entertainment, redeemable for any ticketed event to the Villa Marine or Gaiety Theatre. Get Christmas all wrapped up at VillaGaiety.com or call 600-555. Villa Gaiety gift cards. Because where we're going, we don't need roads, but you'll need tickets.
It's said the number 13 is unlucky for some,
but it could be lucky for you this festive season.
Here at Manx Radio, we've teamed up with IQ to give you 13 days to win an iPhone 13 on the 13th of December.
Starting next Tuesday, we'll launch our Luck of the Draw competition, where all you have to do is work out a daily photo clue on the Manx Radio Facebook page.
Text your answers throughout the 13 days and you'll go into the draw to win the latest in smartphone technology.
So be lucky this Christmas with the Nation Station, Manx Radio and IQ, the island's Apple premium reseller.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
8 minutes before one, late lunch on the way after one with Howie and Christy. I've had my third dose, says Mary, and also had flu jabs on the same day last month. And other than a slightly sore arm, no other reactions. I'm due a booster in 6 months. It's not actually the vaccine that makes people feel rough. It's their own immune system reacting to it as well. And Pat said, so the TT's going ahead. So can anybody tell us why the grids have been reduced to a maximum of 60 riders? The racers will be like watching paint dry. This isn't what fans pay for. That's another one for the government as well, then. John in Peel said, look, having made my appointment for the booster vaccine for Tuesday, 23rd of November for 1:35, I entered Peel Medical Centre at 1:30, having filled in the form, had my jab and did a necessary 15-minute rest. I was on my way out of the building at 1:55. No problem since the jab. My point is the efficiency of the Peel Medical Centre. Talking of Ramsey, somebody said, will there be results on from Ramsey? Well, I think Ramsey, it may be quite a quick. They're normally very efficient in Ramsey with the commissioner's election tonight. So we'll hopefully have, as soon as we get the result this evening, we'll get that out on social media and on air and online as well. But if you listen to Manx Radio tonight, no doubt tomorrow morning will be interviews with the winning commissioners. But it's election day in Ramsey today. There's a note in that just said 46 new cases per day with an active 700 cases, similar to us, the gentleman talking about Gibraltar and what the situation is there. Do you think it's a missed opportunity linking up with Origny? In what way is it, do you think, 001? With Europe looking doubtful, it's a big opportunity for the Isle of Man for the 22 season, says Bill. We should be making the Isle of Man look a lot more attractive to people in the UK. Bearing in mind, would you say what's the percentage of people in the UK even know where the Isle of Man is? As to how many would actually come to the Isle of Man? You just wonder, don't you? Here's a message in, and it is from Nell. Sorry, Nell just said, I've only got two words to say to you, Andy. Oh, dear. Len Bond, doyen of the Tourist Board. Gone are the days. Well, he can say that again. But Nell also said, look, it's obvious that our tourist industry has changed. You remember once upon a time, Port Sodrick was a jewel in the crown of the Isle of Man. Nowadays, it is far from that. Well, everybody had big plans for Port Sodrick, although it's doing very well at the moment. I think there's a military charity down there, but certainly it isn't anything like a tourist resort. But it was at one time. A quick note to say, says 807, that the Manx government doesn't want the Manx public to have any sort of fun. All the government want is an island full of old folks' homes. So when the old people pass away, the government keeps their money. That's the definition of cynicism, isn't it? 807. Further to yesterday, I've just called 111, pressed option 2, as advised on my appointment letter, to cancel my booster vaccine. And unbelievably, no one answered. The cheek of the government moaning about people missing appointments, and they can't organise for anybody to pick up the 111 line. Well, that's the situation at the moment. I couldn't agree more with the comments you made about tourism, hospitality and agriculture. Thank you, Michael. The lack of tourism, hospitality and agriculture will make it very difficult to attract people to live and work on the island. It's great to see the cultural zone nearly complete, but it hardly promotes the transparency if government or the prospective MHKs were ramming transparency down our throats in the election. No details of what happened between the Sefton Group and the DOI can be revealed. Thank you, Michael, and thanks to everybody who texted and emails in today. It's still got loads more to get to, which I'll certainly read after the show. And back tomorrow with another open line on Man in Line. Remember, on Monday, Chris Thomas, MHK, is going to be with us. And thanks to Barry Redfern producing today.